Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Number four, this is so true. It takes a long time to make a disciple. And I've learned this from you guys in here. Stephen taught me this. We were trying to make men out of microwaves. You can't do that. Let's put them in a smoker and let them sit there for a while. Amen. That's, you know, when you put a piece of, let's say you want to cook a brisket, you're not going to stick it in the microwave, are you? Man, you've lost your mind. You're going to stick it in a smoker for about 14 hours. Sometimes it can go up to 21, 22 hours, depending on how you want to cook that thing, and to get the best experience out of that meat, right? If you throw it in a microwave, you're going to really be frustrated. But if you put it in a smoker and let it do its thing, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome experience. And everybody's going to come what? Everybody's going to want to come and enjoy that. You're going to want to invite others to come be a part of that. Hey, we're going to cook some brisket. We're going to smoke some meat today. Y'all want to come over? It's going to take all day. But man, when we get it off that smoker, we're going to enjoy what we have been allowing to take place. And that's what I think men's ministry is. That's what men's discipleship is. It takes time. He's not going to get it right. He's going to struggle in trying to get it right. And that means fatherhood. That means, you know, relationships with others. That means in the context of the family, that can mean multiple things with other relationships. And I told my son-in-laws, you're going to have a hard time with me because I'm trying to work this out. As Davis will tell you, you're going to get frustrated with me because I'm trying to work out this relationship with my daughter and, you know, the journey y'all are on. And you're going to love me sometimes. You're going to hate me sometimes. You're going to think, man, he's lost his mind. I just want to marry his daughter. What am I doing? I'm trying to work out the journey and the process so they can win. And, you know, never, you know, not really having much experience in this. I've got three that are married now, but it's all been a journey. It's all been that journey. And I've always felt like it's important to be a part of that whole process because it takes a long time to see that he's ready, to see that she's ready. Because I want them to do what? Win. I'm not slowing it down because I don't want it to happen. I'm engaged in the process, and it may get slower, and then by the time it's right, it picks up a whole new pace, and before you know it, they're expecting their first child in June, and God's doing great things. And so it's pretty awesome to see that take place, but it's all because of a relationship and a journey. I'm not just hanging out. Amen? It's a big deal. You know why? Lives are involved. Hearts and souls and spirits, families. There's connection here. And when you get into the Boggs family, there's 11 other relationships that you got to figure out. You know what I'm saying? And it'll make your head spin. And you just don't handle that lightly because it could affect the whole thing. Guess what? When it affects the family and the family goes wayward and sideways, guess what? It affects the kingdom of God. That's why we got to fight for the family. It's what Nehemiah taught us. He got the families right so he could get the city right. And when the city got right, it changed the whole thing. And so when families reconcile and get right and make it through the opportunities of just life, it makes something really special happen. But it takes a long time. It's got to be cultivated. You got to, you know, I say create momentum. I say capture momentum and cultivate that momentum. You got to be able to do that. And that takes time. I think I shared this early on, but I want to come back to this because it goes back to just really application. When you think about reaching them or who you're trying to pour into, whoever that could be, they're going to, number one, need your time. They're going to, number two, need your heart. Number three, they're going to need your example and experience in life. And also, they're going to need your manhood. When you go to try to reach them or serve them, minister to them, whoever it is, they're going to need your time. And a lot of times I tell young men, if you want me to mentor you, you better get my attention. You better tell me what you want because I've got enough going on that I'm not going to probably sit down with you, but I can give you my time if you help me do that and you help me know what you want. But I've got enough of discipleship I'm trying to do outside of that relationship. But if you want to start something new, I'm all for that, but it's got to be clear so we can win. And I want to give you my time, but help me give me your time And if you're guessing at it, you're probably gonna miss me, because I've got a lot happening, and I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm just trying to help you win. If you want to get connected, I want to get connected, but you got to help me know in what areas. The other thing would be simply this, just an example. They need your example or experience. How have you handled this? What have you experienced in this? Why did you do this? You're helping them understand how you got to where you are, which to me is a part of the process of discipleship, so they don't make the same mistakes. They leverage your experience in their own journey. They're able to walk on in victory. Then you got to help them understand your heart. Who were you before you got with God? Who were you before you had children? Who were you before you were a grandfather? What is the heart behind what you're doing? What's the motivation? And that's why I like Ezra 7:10. Ezra prepared his heart. He had to get his heart right, really get it to a place where God could use it. And that's to me, that's what happens in a man's life. And then they need your manhood, every phase of manhood. So I believe the Bible knows nothing of adolescence. It doesn't even really teach adolescence. And everything we see coming out of just manhood, or at least the journey in a man's life, is obviously it's boyhood, it's manhood, it's fatherhood, then it's patriarchy. All those are always a call up out of another season of life into another greater season. So it's a season of life that gets into another greater season as you walk with God, and we got to help him get there and be the men that help that our brothers, even our sons, son-in-laws, relationships with other men, help them see that experience created in their life, and then capture that and begin to cultivate that. All of this takes time. And that's why number 5 is in your notes here. It takes up to 10 years to build and sustain a successful men's ministry. Richard Foster said, our tendency is to overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year, but underestimate what we can accomplish in 10 years. So as you cultivate and consistency over time and work it out over time, man, it's a special journey over time. 10 years, a lot can happen. And a lot can happen in 1 year. We tend to overestimate what we can do in a year. I remember talking to our family. We like to go through goals in the beginning of the year, and I won't say who they are, but they gave me some lists, and I think, man, that's admirable. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know how you can be able to accomplish all this, but I appreciate the drive and the value. So let's get some more attainable things that we can get some wins in, because you're going to be overwhelmed to see, man, I didn't accomplish nothing, because if we don't have some things we can get our hearts and minds around, and what we can see and hope to see happen, we're not going to get some wins. But if you are able to accomplish some things and do some things over a consistent period of time, you'll see some great things happen. And I think that's the approach to men. Sometimes in churches that I serve and minister with, that our team serves and ministers with, it's such a big task they won't even start. It's such a big problem they don't know where to begin. And I said this earlier this year in our group, it's often the start that stops us. It's so big, the needs are so great, that we won't even get in the game. And I think that's where a lot of us can get if we're not careful. Number 6, there are no 5 easy steps to effective men's ministry. There aren't even 5 hard steps. In other words, I'm trying to help you realize it's difficult, it's challenging. You're going to get into a good rhythm for a season. All of a sudden, that season's going to stop. You got to figure out and readjust and make some adjustments. And that's with your own discipleship. That's even with an own ministry like you're involved in. You're going to see some great things happen and some great movements happen, and all of a sudden it's going to change. And I just left New Jersey this weekend, where we saw great kingdom impact in Dominican Republic, in Paterson, New Jersey. And guess what? It just dried up overnight. And so we've got to adjust. And how do we continue to minister in this area that we feel like we have a connection there? And so hopefully out of even this weekend, we're gonna come back to the drawing board. How can we go back, and how can we get more strategic and intentional? The call is still there. So how do we answer that call? And so again, as we think about discipleship and what it looks like, ultimately I would say it's one man caring enough about another man, helping him build his biblical worldview and his relationship with God, his family, and his church. to the ends of the earth, all the while helping other men do the same thing. So it's not just one man, it's many men doing what God's called us to do.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.